Listen to these words of Scripture for today that come from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 through 10. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into this world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you are not pleased." Then I said, "Here am I. It is written about me in the scroll, 'I have come to do your will, my God.'" First he said, "Sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then he said, "Here am I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Do you walk and spend time with Jesus? For me, that's what this life is about. Do you walk and spend time with Jesus? It's time that you should be spending that every day. Because without Jesus, we would not be holy. Without Jesus, we would not be holy. There's no way I can save myself. No one can do that. Even though people continue to try, it will never happen. You see, at first God designed a system where the blood of bulls and goats and lambs would cover over people's sins. It was not a perfect system. It was a difficult system. Once the tabernacle was established, and then the temple that followed that, it was done every day. I can't imagine that. Can you imagine people bringing sacrifices every day to the church? To be offered up to God. Some of it being sin sacrifices, some of it being offerings for other things. Some of it placed upon the altar that would have been burning at all times, and to be offered up completely to God and gone. Can you imagine that? That old sacrificial system of offering up the blood of bulls and goats was incomplete, though. It was incomplete. It had to be done time and time again. It had to be done over and over again. And a matter of fact, those who were the priest at that time first had to offer for themselves before they could offer for the people. God, as a priest, cover my sins and forgive me of my sins. Wash them away from me so that I can be one who can come for other people. So not only might you bring your sacrifice, but the priest had to start their day by offering their own sacrifices before they could offer the sacrifices of the people. During that holy week, thousands upon thousands of animals would have been sacrificed. Think about that. Priests would have been busy all the day offering up sacrifices. All the day. Again and again and again. It was an incomplete system. Because the sacrifices is needed to be done over and over again. Each time, each day, each year, over and over again. And at the Passover, which happened during that last week that Jesus was with his disciples, every household had to have a lamb to sacrifice. Every household. And they were to be brought to the temple to be sacrificed, and then the lamb would be taken back. And the family would prepare that lamb and eat it that night. Think about that. Every family. How many families have we got in here? In one way, I'm glad that we don't do it that way anymore. Why? Because I grew up as a beach bum, not a farm boy. I didn't grow up as one who knew how to slaughter animals. And that was a task that the priest had to know. Again and again and again, they would be offered up. God changed that. Praise God and thank God for that. God changed that. Jesus Christ came into this world to be offered up as our sacrifice once and for all, never to be done again. Amen. You know what would have been one of the hardest things about the Passover? Maybe you haven't really paid attention to the scriptures and what it says. You were to pick out an unblemished lamb, and that lamb was to live with your family until the Passover. Imagine having little children in the house. I bet the lamb got a name. What do you think? And then parents had to explain to their child, this needs to go to the temple to be sacrificed. That would have been incredibly difficult, I think, don't you? For that little lamb to live with you for a time and a piece, and for you to take care of it and make sure that nothing happened to it and that it was okay. And then to have it sacrificed. As an opportunity also to explain to your children why the sacrifice needs to happen. To explain to them about sin and how it separates us from God and divides us from a relationship with God. And how God cannot look upon us when we have sinned. But think of the story we can explain to them now. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, came into this world to be offered up once for all for our sins because God loved us. Christ came into the world to sacrifice himself. A complete and full offering for our sins. Not an incomplete offering that had to be done again, but an offering that only had to be done once. Because Jesus Christ walked here upon this earth, he was fully human, fully divine. He was tempted, as we've studied in the book of Hebrews already, he was tempted in every way that we are tempted, and the scriptures say that he did not sin. He is able to come up to us with empathy, with compassion, because Jesus understands the journey that we walk. But yet he did not fail on his journey. He came as a perfect sacrifice. We looked at that in Hebrews this past week. He is our high priest, and we will continue to look at that over the next month or so. He is our high priest. He is the one that does not have to offer a sacrifice for himself first, because he comes complete. And he says, I will offer myself for you because I love you. At the cross. The old rugged cross. The walk towards that cross should be your focus until Friday. Jesus Christ hanging upon the cross should be your focus for Friday. It's not pretty. Sometimes it's good to look at some pictures or some sculptures that show Jesus hanging upon the cross. Not that it's happening again, because Scripture tells us it has happened once for all. But sometimes we step away from the ugliness of what happens on Good Friday. We love to sing about the old rugged cross, but I venture to say not many people have a great image of Jesus hanging upon the cross. We don't want to visit that ugliness. We don't want to visit that blood flowing from him for our sins. We don't want to visit his broken body. We're much more comfortable with a cross that looks more like this. I can remember it at a place that I served once. Someone had brought in a crucifix with Jesus hanging upon it for the Sunday school class to focus on and to think about. And I had people come to me in arms, up in arms. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? And I just looked at them and I said, sometimes I think we need to focus on what Good Friday really means. Jesus may come in Sunday triumphant. He may come in Sunday with people yelling and screaming, praise to the Lord, Hosanna, Hallelujah. But it's only about 4 days later that it all turns. And Jesus keeps his focus. You see, the suffering and the sacrifice of Christ was necessary for us to be forgiven and to establish a full relationship with God. It was necessary. Don't skip past that. And don't stop at the cross either. I'm asking you to focus on it this week and look at it. And Jesus' walk towards the cross and him hanging upon the cross on Good Friday. And to take some time to envision what was it like to just think that everything was over. The Savior is dead. If you want a really good story to read about that, go to Luke chapter 24, starting about a third of the way through that chapter, is a little passage called The Road to Emmaus. And it's about two of the disciples that know that Jesus has died upon the cross. They know that he is no longer living and has been buried. And they're leaving Jerusalem to go home because it's all over. One of them is named Cleopas, and the other one, we don't know their name. For all we know, it was husband and wife. And they're walking to go back home because it's over. And Jesus appears to walk along with them on that Sunday morning. But they do not know that it's Jesus. And he tells them all that Scripture has to say about the need for him to be sacrificed and why it must happen that way. And he explains to them all the Scriptures about him. That means all the Old Testament Scriptures about him. The New Testament did not exist at that time. And he walks them through all of those passages to explain to them why the Savior must suffer and die so our sins could be forgiven. It was necessary. But you know, there's an exciting thing that happens when we realize what Jesus Christ has done for us. When we realize and accept Christ and believe in Christ's work for us on the cross, we're made holy. We can't do that on our own. When we believe in what Christ has done for us, we are made holy. That is, we are set apart for the worship and the work of God. That's what it means to be holy. Holy says you have become important to live the very work of God in this world. And God chooses to be a co-creator with you as we bring about the kingdom of God in this world. There are tons of people the worldwide that have never accepted what Jesus has done for them. We can think of all the countries around the world and places where the gospel of Jesus Christ is not allowed to be preached. And we can think of all the places that missionaries go in order to help people, to encourage people, and to lift people up that they might accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord and know the forgiveness and being part of the kingdom of God, having eternal life and salvation. But I want you to realize there are people that live on your street who have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You have neighbors who have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I've said that before, and I've had people come to me and tell me, "Pastor, everybody on my street goes to church." And my question often is why is their car still in the driveway when you leave to come to church? Why do they never go worship anywhere on a Sunday morning? You have people on your street, you have neighbors who have never believed in what Jesus Christ has done for them. They have not been made holy yet. But you have been made holy because you believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have been made holy. That is, you have been set apart for living God's purposes and God's work in this world. What is God's work? To bring people to Jesus Christ for salvation. And you have been set apart for that very reason. Next Sunday morning is typically, throughout the history of this nation, one of the highest Sunday attendances there ever is. In most people's lives, there's three high holy days: Easter, Christmas. Anybody got the third one? Mother's Day. Mom wants us to go to church with her this week. Yes, Mom. And the rest of the year, people don't seem to care. Folks, we need to be the ones that do. Once you believe in what Jesus Christ has done for you, you have been made holy. The very righteousness of Jesus Christ is placed upon you, and as God looks down, God says, "You are my beloved, and in you I am well pleased." Because all God can see now is the very righteousness of Jesus Christ that has been placed upon us. Therefore, we are holy. And we should be living God's purposes. Is it scary to share Jesus Christ with other people? Yes. Might they reject what you share with them? Most probably. So let's just tack those up on the wall and say they're givens. That's given. It's going to happen. Does God say, because it's going to happen, don't do it anymore? No. God says, do it all the more, so that people can come to the cross and see what happened there in the willingness of Jesus Christ to give up his life totally and completely for us, for every person, not just the people we choose. I want to ask you to think about two things this week, because there's two places you might be. Some of you here may never have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord yet. Just because you joined the church doesn't mean that you've done that, by the way. Have you believed in what Christ has done for you? Have you given your life totally to what Christ has done for you? You've heard me talk about this before. We come to Jesus and we accept him as our Savior. Many people don't make the second decision that needs to be made. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Which means when Jesus asks me to do something, I do it. When Jesus says, walk this way, I walk this way. When Jesus says, speak to that person, I speak to that person. That's what it means when Jesus is Lord. Have you made both of those decisions? Jesus as Savior is fire insurance. I'm saved from hell and I will not go. Jesus as Lord is incredible blessings. Not only for you, but for those around you as you share the word of Jesus Christ with them. Have you made those decisions? If you've made those decisions, are you living a set apart life for God now? Are you living a set apart life, a holy life? Have you been set apart for living the very purposes of Jesus Christ? And I know some of you think that's what ministers do and that's what ministers are called for. That's what every Christian is called to do. Whether you work in the world or whether you give yourself to the vocational ministry, every person is supposed to do that. Are you living a set apart life for God now? Maybe today you need to make a decision. Maybe today you need to change things. We come to worship God and to praise God and to know that God loves us and cares for us. But we also come to hear God say, I challenge you to take another step, you know, on your spiritual journey. And by the way, if you don't take the next step that God's asking you to take, that's sin. That is sin. Will you take the step is what I'm asking you. We got a whole world of people out there that are dying and they're going to go to hell because someone hasn't shared with them about Jesus Christ. Countries around the world, yes. But remember what I told you. I know there's somebody on your street that has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. And I'm willing to say God has placed you where you are to be a witness to them and to share with them that they might come to know Jesus Christ. Praise God for a sacrifice that happened once for all. And it doesn't have to be done again. It's a perfect and complete system. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Now may we truly live lives set apart for God. Let us pray. Lord, for each one of us, there's an awful lot going on. There's an awful lot happening. There are many things that we're concerned about. But you have called us to be your people. And you've sent Jesus to be the sacrifice once for all that we don't have to live that way anymore. And that we can come and trust that sacrifice and live completely for you. So Lord, please. If we're not living that way, show us where we're not. Challenge us. May the Holy Spirit come and knock upon the doors of our hearts and continue to knock until we open the door and live the life that you have for us as holy daughters and sons of your kingdom. Please, guide us this week to be your people in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.